In today's show, I'll be sharing the five things to watch out for in the Bitcoin market this week. Also, breaking news, BlackRock now holds 273,596 Bitcoin, worth $18 billion for its spot Bitcoin ETF. Also in today's show, the Bitcoin halving shows new users that code is ultimately the law in crypto. We'll also be discussing Mt. Gox Trustee updates their Bitcoin and fiat repayment timetable and how this will likely impact the crypto market. We'll also be discussing RFK Jr. wants to put the entire U.S. budget on the blockchain. That's right. Also, Bitcoin will shatter a $16 trillion market cap of gold, says SkyBridge Capital's Anthony Scaramucci. I'll be sharing how and when. We'll also be discussing a prediction from Joe Burnett of Bitcoin hitting 14.3 million per BTC. Quoting him here, Bitcoin will become significantly less volatile once it surpasses the total value of global real estate at $300 trillion, taking Bitcoin to $14.3 million. Also have some bonus predictions from Michael Saylor of Bitcoin hitting $10 million and even as high as $100 million per one Bitcoin. We'll also be taking a look at the overall crypto market. All this, plus so much more, in today's show. Yo, what's good, crypto fam? This is first and foremost a video show. So if you want the full premium experience with video, visit my YouTube channel at cryptonewsalerts.net. Again, that's cryptonewsalerts.net. Today is pod episode number 1617. I'm your host, JV, and it's April 22nd, 2024. We just had a halving a couple of days ago, and Bitcoin's still doing its thing. It's pumping today up almost $2,000 on the daily, trading above 66,500. Let's kick it off with our market watch, as we do each and every day. You can see all the major cryptos pumping back in the green, which we love to see. Even XRP is up 5%, trading above 55 cents. And checking out coinmarketcap.com, we're sitting on a 2.4 trillion market cap with 68 billion in volume for the past 24 hours. Bitcoin dominance at 53.7%, with the Ether dominance at 15.8%. My question for the chat, how high do you feel the Bitcoin dom will climb for the cycle? Do you think we tap 60, 70%? Let me know. And checking out the top 100 crypto gainers for the past 24 hours. We got Pepe up 17%. We have Near up 15% and Kaz up 12%. Below that, Say, Pendle, Core, GRT, IMX, and GNO. Now, which particular alts are you guys most bullish on for this bull run? Holla at your boy. And checking out the crypto bubbles to get more of a visual perspective on the daily. Virtually everything pumping and in the green, which we love to see. And zooming out on the monthly, the tables turn. A lot of corrections across the broader crypto sphere. And checking out the crypto greed and fear index. Today we're a 73 greed. Yesterday was a 72. Last week a 74. Last month a 73. We keep an eye on this metric. The higher this number goes, the more likely of a pullback. And that's it, man. I mean, we just had the halving, so no more halving countdown, because we got over 1400 days until the next one, which is likely to occur sometime around March of 2028. So there you go. But anyways, family, let's dive into the five things to watch out for the Bitcoin market this week, as there's a lot going on right now. First and foremost, liquidity keeps lid on Bitcoin's post-halving rebound. That's right. After an uneventful weekly close, Bitcoin soon upped the stakes with a push beyond 66 and on the cusp of crossing 67,000 at the time of this recording, its highest level since April 15th. So check it out. Here you're looking at the Bitcoin 1 hour chart. Last week was characterized by the selling during the US trading hours, and analyzing the current order book setup, we had Keith Allen of Material Indicators eyeing a large block of ask liquidity immediately above the spot price. Quoting him here, seems like this fat block of Bitcoin ask liquidity may have been put in place to prevent a green weekly close. I am speculating about the possibility that one of the 10 Bitcoin ETF institutions put that up to keep the price from running back to the 70,000 range before TradeFi markets open and they have a chance to buy the dip. He also noted that this liquidity was not supplied while Wall Street was absent, quoting him again. In fact, it may be the reason they didn't dump it on the weekend. After all, there is no benefit for them if they can't buy. Expecting some volatility on Monday, at least its volatility to the upside, right? Now, for the next factor to keep your eyes on this week, analysis eyes the Bitcoin price range before parabolic upside. That's right. With the block subsidy halving now complete, market participants are considering how Bitcoin will react going forward and whether it will set a new paradigm compared with the previous halvings. Now, according to Rec Capital, for months, analysis has flagged various Bitcoin price phases common to Bitcoin's previous two halvings. Bitcoin has adhered to these this year, at least to an extent, while also setting new records, such as posting an all-time high before the halving, not after it, again, for the first time in Bitcoin history. Now, currently, Rec Capital suggests it is in a reaccumulation phase, the biddies, consisting of consolidation around the halving. And while this would explain the recent price reticence, he now argues that the reaccumulation range could act as the perfect springboard for long-term gains. Quoting him here, what if Bitcoin has already revealed the top and bottom of its post-halving reaccumulation range? Then the prices within this range would be the best we will be able to get before Bitcoin is finally ready post-halving. Parabolic upside. Let me know if you agree with that. And also shared any Bitcoin downside in the pre-halving period represented bargain buying opportunities. I agree with that. Going forward, this upcoming several week consolidation will represent a bargain buying opportunity. So seize the moment, BTFD, or forever hold your peace. Now for the next factor to keep your eyes out on, PCE week greets a hawkish Fed. That's right. Adding to the volatility catalyst this week is a similar face in the form of U.S. macroeconomic data prints. These are set to include first quarter gross domestic product and jobless claims, all leading up to the March print of the PCE index, April 26, which is 4 days out. I guess that would be this Friday, family. The latter is known to be the Fed's preferred inflation measure and should thus be closely watched as economic policy hangs in the balance between hawkish and dovish. Now, risk assets continue to look for hints that interest rates will come down sooner rather than later, while recent language from the Fed officials have favored a higher for longer approach. Quoting them here, will PCE inflation data, this is the Kabisi letter, show another increase in inflation? All eyes will be on the CBE inflation data this week, the Fed's preferred inflation metric. Now for the next factor we're going to keep our eyes out on, Bitcoin transaction fees, will they be higher for much longer? Well, Bitcoin transaction fees have made the headlines for the wrong reasons since the halving, at one point passing a near record of $200. Like, whoa. Thanks to the runes phenomenon, Bitcoin miners have seen bumper earnings despite 50% reduction in block subsidy. Examining the status quo, Charles Edwards, founder of Quantitative Bitcoin and Digital Asset Fund, Capriole Investments, concluded that the new halving epoch represents a seismic shift for Bitcoin as a whole. Quoting him here, welcome to a new paradigm. And he explained that Bitcoin's electrical cost, the raw cost of electricity per mined block, is now higher than the spot price at over $77,000. As he shares here, Bitcoin miner price hit $244,000, good Lord, on Saturday. This is the block reward plus fees per Bitcoin mined. It boomed as transaction fees hit $230 plus. This means Bitcoin is trading at a deep discount. That's right. So with the electrical cost of $77,400, and we got Bitcoin trading at the cusp of $67,000 at the time of this live. He also says expecting a bit of all three Bitcoin days under 100,000 are numbered. So let's go. 100,000 Bitcoin, just send it. And for the next factor we're going to keep an eye out on this week, while the stocks entered a period of cold feet, the crypto sentiment has gone the opposite way. That's right. The crypto greed and fear index, the counterpart of the stock sentiment gauge, currently sits just below the extreme greed zone at 73. And reminder, just a few days ago, April 18th, that was 4 days ago, the index measured a 57, indicating greed has been practically flushed from the radar. That's right. Quoting Ted's Mac Crypto here, Ted's Talk Crypto, the market has gifted us with a beautiful reset and underpositioning for Bitcoin. The over open interest weighted funding turned negative for the first time since October 2023. That was before Bitcoin ran from 27 to 46,000 without any meaningful dip. So there you have it, family. Let me know if you guys are currently bullish or bearish on the king. And this just in, BlackRock, yeah, the world's largest asset manager. They now hold 273,596 biddies worth $18 billion bucks. for its spot Bitcoin ETF. So that means BlackRock's ETF holds 59,350 more Bitcoin than MicroStrategy. And what's mind-boggling, it took MicroStrategy 4 years, right? They were the first publicly traded company to put the biddies on the balance sheet back in 2020. So it took them 4 years to accumulate 200,000 plus biddies. BlackRock just achieved that and blew right past it in, you know, in 100 days, however long it's been since the launch on January 11th. And that's pretty wild. I think there'll be a flippening soon as well against GBTC, which currently holds roughly 300,000 Bitcoin at the rate that BlackRock is currently accumulating. So it means BlackRock will soon be the largest hodler of Bitcoin on paper. That's pretty wild, considering they've done it so fast and they're not slowing down anytime soon. But there you go. We appreciate y'all. But anyways, fam, let's dive into our next story of the day. Let's dive a little deeper on this Bitcoin halving. Headline reads, Bitcoin halving shows new users that code is ultimately the law in crypto. That's right. As the Bitcoin halving marked yet another major milestone for the crypto space, leaders of this community shared different perspectives on how the event would affect different areas of cryptocurrency. As you can see, April 20th, the Bitcoin network successfully went through the fourth halving here Eastern time. It was roughly 8:30-ish p.m. because we actually recorded a live stream and ushered in the new epoch. But nonetheless, for some countries, it was on April 20th. After the 840,000 block was mined, the occasion reduced mining rewards from 6.25 biddies per block to 3.125, worth about $200,000 at this time. And at the Token 2049 event in Dubai, they spoke of members to get their thoughts on the Bitcoin halving and its potential impact in the crypto space. Avalanche founder shared two different perspectives regarding the halving from a technological standpoint and argued that the halving was not great. Here's what he said. As a technologist at my core, I see the Bitcoin halving as not a great thing. Why? Because it is a discrete event. All of a sudden, the rewards go into the miners, go down by half, and suddenly the security budget of the Bitcoin system goes down by half. The executive believes that the halving leads to hundreds of millions being paid to miners going down. The Avalanche founder believes that the Bitcoin creator was still alive and the Bitcoin halving might change. Oh, I see. Believes that the Bitcoin was still. Oh, interesting. So quoting him here, I think if Satoshi were alive today, he would change the way the halving is happening. So he's ultimately saying he thinks Satoshi is dead. Not from a discrete function, from a sudden point of function to a more continuous function so that the rewards go down more gradually. Now, while the executive thinks the halving could improve from a tech perspective, they also recognize the event has had a good effect on crypto, which is fact. This creates a lot of speculation, a lot of buying in the space, a lot of people taking a position in Bitcoin, which in general has been a great for the rest of the space as well. Quick shout out to Ashley. She just gifted 5 memberships of the channel to the following: Juan Esperino, Future Millionaire, Alex, Blake, and David Nelson. You've all been hooked up with the MicroStrategy membership on the channel on behalf of Ashley and her kind heart. So thank you, Ashley, so much for helping support the show by gifting these memberships. We salute you, family. Much love, respect. But back to our story. So yeah, they explained that it is also great for renewed interest in crypto and predicted the space is on its way to growing tenfold, 10x, send it. I see the crypto space growing by at least another factor of 10, if not more so. Bitcoin has a lot of growth ahead of it, in my view. Personally, I can see Bitcoin doing another 100x. What do you say to that? Now, while they highlighted the potential long-term growth of the crypto space, we also had the Tether CEO who shared the halving might not immediately affect the price. Quoting him here, I think the halving is something that is iconic, is something that is there, but not necessarily will affect immediately the Bitcoin price. I don't expect it. Maybe it will happen, maybe it will not, but I think that the halving was priced already. What was not necessarily priced was the enormous interest in the Bitcoin ETF. He also explained the biggest hedge fund didn't tap into the Bitcoin ETF yet. When pension funds and other hedge funds start investing, we'll see the big moves. Now let's discuss the code is law in crypto. That's right. With the ETFs bringing in the new players to the space, the halving shows how code works as the law in crypto, according to Justin Hyon, director of investment at the Open Network Foundation. He believes that those experiencing the Bitcoin halving for the first time will see how the crypto space works. Quoting him here, it'll be further validation of the way that the code is ultimately the law in crypto, as in this thing that was pre-designed from the get-go takes place without anybody having to push a button. The executive hopes that when the larger community outside crypto sees it, they will become more curious about different networks and how they interact with the code and users. So there you have it, my crypto fam. And once again, shout out to Ashley. We appreciate all the gifted memberships, family. Let's freaking go. Anyways, fam, let's not waste any time. Let's get into the latest from Mt. Gox. The headline reads, Mt. Gox trustee updates Bitcoin and fiat repayment timetable. That's right. Users of the hacked crypto exchange, Mt. Gox, received another optimistic signal regarding compensation for hacked funds, with Mt. Gox trustee updating some crucial repayment data. Multiple Mt. Gox creditors reported that their Mt. Gox claims accounts were updated with info about Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, and fiat repayment, with many suggesting the crypto repayments are coming. Now, some of the first such reports surfaced on the Mt. Gox insolvency subreddit mid-April, with users reporting the addition of amounts to be paid to the repayment data table on their accounts. Now, I'm curious, chat, any of you awaiting a repayment plan from Mt. Gox? How many of you were impacted or affected by that? Let me know. According to the screenshot shared here by one creditor, the Mt. Gox claims accounts now show a table with repayment status and other entries, such as the amount of completed repayment and the amount of incomplete repayment. Now, to me, it's mind-boggling that the investors have not received their funds yet. I mean, how many years has this been, for Christ's sake? So according to multiple posts on the Mt. Gox Insolvency Hub on Reddit, some creditors have already received fiat currency in their bank accounts. Quoting them here, money received as USD into an HSBC currency account and looks like zero fees, one Mt. Gox creditor wrote April 22nd, adding that the repayment came more than a month after the first table update appeared on the claims account. Now, table had been updated March 15th first, then April 8th second, then April 18th when Bitcoin lines arrived. The latest additions of Bitcoin on the accounts in the Mt. Gox rehabilitation claim system is a major move for Mt. Gox creditors, signaling disbursement of crypto or fiat will happen, one Mt. Gox creditor shared. In comparison, last December, Japanese claimants received notes on their page, and within 2 weeks, they saw fiat in their accounts via PayPal and private banks, the creditor said, adding, let's hope the crypto remittance echoes that of its fiat predecessor. Now founded in 2010, the now defunct Mt. Gox was one of the biggest Bitcoin exchanges in the world, estimated to account for 70% of all Bitcoin transactions before its implosion. The platform lost 850,000 Bitcoin to a security breach back in 2014. Good Lord. Mt. Gox is expected to repay its creditors 142,000 Bitcoin and 143,000 in a forked crypto Bitcoin Cash Trash, in addition to 69 billion Japanese yen, valued at just over a half a billion by October 2024. And the latest table updates followed the completion of identity verification of Mt. Gox creditors and their crypto exchange accounts that would be used to repay Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash January 2024. Some available platforms include Bitstamp, Kraken, Bitbank, BitGo, and SBI VC Trade. So there you have it, my crypto fam. Let me know if any of you guys were affected by that in any way. Here's the latest from RFK Jr. Headline, very interesting. RFK Jr. wants to put the entire US budget on a blockchain? For real? I don't think they would ever approve that, but nonetheless, check it. U.S. presidential candidate RFK Jr. wants to put the entire U.S. budget on the blockchain. During a Michigan rally that was yesterday, the 21st, he proposed the idea and said the move would allow every American to look at every budget item anytime they want, 24 hours a day. Quoting him here, we're going to have 300 million eyeballs on our budget, and if somebody is spending $16,000 for a toilet seat, what is that, a gold toilet seat? Everybody's going to know about it. Good point there. And Kennedy's plan would allow for more transparency and accountability, allowing taxpayers to see where their tax dollars are spent. The blockchain proposal was lauded by many crypto advocates on social media, where people claimed it would be revolutionary and end corruption. One user wrote that transparent public accounting might be the best use case for blockchain tech besides the supply chain. Quoting them here, checks and balances in our government doesn't work if the branches are in the corruption together. Good point. It is time the people hold them accountable. Now, some, however, criticize the plan, claiming Kennedy is advocating for a central bank digital currency via his blockchain plan. However, in the past, Kennedy has vowed to end U.S. efforts to move towards a CBDC, claiming it infringes on privacy. Kennedy is running as an independent candidate in the upcoming U.S. presidential election after ending his bid to be the Democratic Party nominee back in October last year. He is a strong advocate for Bitcoin and blockchain and has been among the few presidential candidates who have endorsed Bitcoin and decentralized technology. He is also the first presidential candidate to accept Bitcoin from campaign donations. He also revealed his plans to back the U.S. dollar with Bitcoin if elected president. That's a very interesting concept in of itself. What do you think about that? In recent years, more politicians have advocated against centralized government systems, particularly financial ones, as the centralized financial alternative have grown in popularity. December 2023, Bitcoin-friendly candidate Javier Milei won the Argentine presidential election on the back of the campaign, promising to slash the size of the government. But here's the other thing we must consider. Some of these candidates are smart, and they're just trying to get your vote, and they will tell you anything you want to hear to deceive you so that you vote for them. So you got to keep that in mind. I think Milei is a great example of that. He seemed to be very pro-Bitcoin and anti-central bank, but look at his actions in comparison to what his words were, because clearly he's not embracing Bitcoin, and he's only making things more difficult for the Argentine people to acquire the King crypto. So let me know your thoughts. Do you trust Kennedy, or do you think there is some shenanigans going on with CBDCs or central control within the government with wanting to put everything on the blockchain? Holla. But anyways, next story of the day. Let's discuss a $16 trillion market cap as per the Mooch, Anthony Scaramucci. That's right. The seasoned hedge fund manager Scaramucci thinks the Bitcoin's market cap will eventually eclipse the $16 trillion valuation of gold. In a new interview with CNBC, he says Bitcoin is a superior asset that has never been witnessed in the last 5,000 years of human history. Tell him, Mooch. According to the Mooch, Bitcoin still has ways to go up before catching to gold's $16 trillion market cap, but thinks the distance would decrease over time as the regulators give their stamps of approval to BTC. Quoting him here, I think what got me past being a skeptic is the notion that this is immutable. That means it can't be changed, family. It is decentralized in a way that makes it very powerful. The network itself is scaling. And if you think about the way we treat money in our society over the last 5,000 years, Bitcoin checks all the boxes. The only box it doesn't check is central bank manipulation, which I think makes it way more powerful. And so at $1.4 trillion market cap, could this trade to half the market cap of gold, where gold is $16 trillion today? We believe it can. We actually think it is going to go through the market capitalization of gold. But if you're making the point that the American owners and the ETFs are not going to be enough to get it there, I disagree. Because over time, the acceptance regulatorily is going to allow people to put it in their portfolio. A 1% position in these global portfolios takes it there. So he's ultimately saying just 1% allocation into these asset managers will get Bitcoin to a $16 trillion market cap, surpassing that market cap of gold. Now, currently, we're at like 1.2 to 1.3 trillion Bitcoin market cap. So he's ultimately predicting a 15x from here. Let me know your thoughts on that. And I think that is very modest to consider 1%. Because what if we were to do 5%? Like Kathy Wood would suggest, then Bitcoin's going into the multi-million dollar range. Or what if 10%, 20%? What if we pull the BlackRock's recommendation of 84.9% into Bitcoin? Then game on. Now we're talking $100 million Bitcoin. In fact, I actually have some mind-boggling predictions to share with you here shortly. I'm going to be sharing some predictions from Mike Saylor, his most bullish predictions I've ever covered here on the channel, as well as a $14.3 million prediction as well. So it's going to be fun. But now let's dive into our featured story of the day, discuss a $14.3 million Bitcoin price prediction, followed by some bonus predictions from the Giga Chad Michael Saylor, ranging from $10 million to $100 million. per BTC. Let's break this baby down. Let's start right here. Joe Burnett shared, Bitcoin will become significantly less volatile once it surpasses the total value of the global real estate, which currently sits at $300 trillion. That will take Bitcoin to an estimated $14.3 million per BTC. Let me know if you agree or disagree. They also say the total addressable market in the entire world is north of $900 trillion. He also recently tweeted, if suddenly nobody in the world could mine more gold and anyone could teleport it over the internet, how much more valuable would gold be? Well, $15 trillion would mean a $714,000 Bitcoin. This is the extreme bear case for Bitcoin. Let me know if you agree with that extreme bear case of 714,000. Now for some bonus predictions. Michael Saylor, when he was interviewed and they had a conversation on Patrick Bet David's podcast, he shared when asked about Bitcoin and where the potential path would lead us. Here's what he wrote. I transcribed. Bitcoin is on a path to be worth $100 million, which means that the US dollar will have lost 99.9% of its value over 100 years. Warren Buffett knows this. Charlie Munger knows this. And that's quoting the Giga Chad, Mike Saylor. So they know they can't stop it. Now, clearly, Munger has ascended and left this planet since that interview, but Warren Buffett still knows what's up. Now, also quoting Saylor from here, from another interview I transcribed word for word, I shared this, it got 140,000 views, got a lot of love, so I want to reiterate it here. Bitcoin is about to 425x. Here's why, new Michael Saylor prediction, quoting him word for word, because Bitcoin is just pure money. It is just as effective at $100,000 a coin as $10,000 a coin. And at $1 million a coin, it's just as effective. And at $10 million a coin, it's probably more compelling at $10 million a coin than $1 million or $100,000 a coin. It's kind of universally scalable asset that gets less risky. The only thing that is going to change, in my opinion, is when it was super risky and scary. Below 10,000, you were getting 100 to 200% a year annualized gains. And when it got a bit more understandable between 10,000 and 100,000, your gains go to 40 or 50% a year. And then at some point, they go to 30% and 20%. And in the extreme, if everybody in the world understood Bitcoin, it would be 20, 30, 40% of the wealth in the world. Very powerful words there. So it would be $200 to $300 trillion in today's dollars. And then the price would be appreciating at the rate of global inflation in the fiat currency. So if the gold inflation remains at 7, it would still remain at 7. And then it would appreciate a little bit more because of the productivity of the people that adopt it as a treasury reserve asset. But wait, there is more. Here's another prediction from the Giga Chad. And when I shared this, I think this is the most viral prediction from Saylor I've received on X. Let's see. Yeah, 423,000 views. This one went absolutely viral. So I'm going to read this one to you. And I think, I think that's it. So yeah, here we go. Why you need to own at least 0.01 Bitcoin. 2024 prediction. Just note this prediction was made many months ago. So it's not right now, but nonetheless, still very valid. Quoting them here. I think there are only three things relevant right now. And here are the three things. FYI, this was before the ETFs went live. The halving is a coming with 100% certainty. Well, boom, it's now in the past. It has already come. And as far as I can see, most of the selling of the Bitcoin in the market is the Bitcoin miners that have to sell in order to pay their electricity bills and pay their debt expenses and their operating expenses. So that amount of selling pressure is going to be cut in half in a few months. So we know that's a coming. In fact, again, it's now behind us. It already happened roughly 2 days ago. And then we know the spot Bitcoin ETF is a coming. And when that comes, we plug into Wall Street and the entire banking system. Well, guess what? That came January 11th officially. And now the institutions hold over 800,000 Bitcoin as predicted. And then finally, the fair value accounting is coming. And when that happens, the objective will go away. And we already got the green light for the fair value accounting, which officially takes place, I believe, later this year. So game changer, game changer, game changer. All three things have occurred. And now you're going to introduce this as a conversation into hundreds of boardrooms. It's a coming. They will not move in a week. They move quarterly, but over the course of 12 quarters, you'll start to see company after company looking at this, and you'll start to see a reallocation of assets. At the end of the day, corporations hold only two assets. They hold cash and they hold bonds. And so if Bitcoin is available as an asset pari passu to a bond, then you'll see a reallocation from bonds to Bitcoin. And then in the institutional investor side, you'll get all these people holding real estate, holding commodities, holding gold, holding ETF and S&P indexes and the like. And if they start to reallocate, and they will, 1-5%, then you're going to have something that has never happened in the history of the world, which is you've got an ETF on a commodity that is scarce. Let's go. Every other ETF in the world is on an asset that is not scarce. It is inflationary. And he makes a brilliant point there. You can make more buildings. You can make more real estate. You can make more gold. You can make more commodities. You can make $4 billion worth of any of those things. The underlying producers produce more of the asset to deflate or to depreciate the price. With Bitcoin, when $100 billion flows into the Bitcoin spot ETF, there won't be any ability for any producer to produce any more Bitcoin. And so you can't really compare it to the spot an ETF of gold, because gold is an inflationary asset, and you can't compare it to the ETFs on real estate or on bonds or on equity. You really have to say this is the first time we have ever plugged Wall Street into an asset that you cannot produce any more of. Exactly. And so nobody knows what will happen, except that if you reason from first principles, you know that it has got to actually perform better than all the other asset ETFs because the underlying fundamentals are just better. But let me lay out three possible ways to invest into Bitcoin. One, if you buy Bitcoin, the underlying asset. The second, you can buy the spot ETF. And the third, you can buy MicroStrategy. So we've talked about the headaches of buying Bitcoin, the underlying asset. You have to do it on a crypto exchange and put it in place of a parallel custody, compliance, compensation control systems. That's the challenge of that. The closest thing, the most compelling idea for a plain vanilla Bitcoin investment of an institutional investor is you buy the spot ETF. You're getting 1-to-1 correlation. For 1 million you put in, you're getting 1 million of Bitcoin. What's the positive? It's marginal. It's good collateral. I can buy in a second, no money down, and I don't need to build parallel custody control compensation systems. So all my problems are handled by Wall Street. What's the cost? 50 to 100 basis points a year. Okay, so if I charge you 1% per year over the course of 20 years or over the course of your lifetime, it means that kinda I take 20% of the money you invested at 1%. So there you go. A lifetime of using these Bitcoin ETFs could cost you roughly 20% of your total investment. Whereas if you self-custodied your Bitcoin, you get to keep 100%. And did I mention it's also unconfiscatable if you properly self-custody your BTC? I just had to throw that out there. But anyways, so there is a cost. 50 basis points means I get 10% of your money approximately. But having said all that, I would pay you 50 to 100 basis points in order to be plugged into Wall Street. Not a problem. It's a lot better than the alternative, which is rebuild all their systems and then finance themselves. So MicroStrategy is not that. MicroStrategy you can think of as a levered long Bitcoin company that paid you a yield. Okay, so I'm not going to call it an ETF because we are not a financial company, but we have 4.4 billion plus a Bitcoin and 2 billion plus of debt. So we have done what we have done is we have levered the balance sheet with debt that costs us about 1.5% interest. So MicroStrategy takes advantage of its position as an operating company to do something that an ETF can't do. An ETF can't issue the junk bonds. An ETF can't issue convertible bonds. An ETF can't do like an ATM like we can could do, and an ETF can't buy Bitcoin with cash flows. So we have a lot of flexibility as an operating company, and we don't charge that fee. So we have 4.5 billion of Bitcoin, but we don't charge 45 million a year. So the real idea here is that if I created an investment vehicle that paid you a yield instead of charging you a fee, and what if I was able to borrow money at 1.5% interest? I borrowed $1 billion at 0% interest and bought Bitcoin with it. How many of you would take advantage of that offer? Borrowing $1 billion at 0% interest? Yes, please. But anyways, let me give you a theoretical. If you get a 2% yield instead of paying a 1% fee, it's 60% difference over the lifetime of your asset. So if you have $1 billion invested and you're getting a 2% yield, you're actually picking up 20 million a year instead of paying 10 million a year. So the dynamic of a company is very important. So you can imagine that if I don't charge you a fee and if I have cheap leverage, the benefit accrues to the common stock shareholders because I went and I borrowed 2.2 billion at 1.5% interest and I bought Bitcoin with it. So what's the logical theoretical yield of Bitcoin? Is it more than 1.5% a year? Well, let's say it was 15% a year. Then we're scraping 14% positive real yield off the debt. And so that would be 14% of $1 billion or more, actually 14% of $2.2 billion. That would mean $300 million a year that accrues to the benefit of the common stock shareholders. You see, this is the benefit of being an operating company. We can every quarter choose what to do. So some quarters we would issue junk bonds, other quarters we would issue convertible bonds, other quarters we would sell the equity, other quarters we just use our own cash. So the answer is there's always going to be a good market and there's always going to be a bad market. There's things you shouldn't do and there's things you should do. So MicroStrategy, to make a long story short, is a bit more complicated than a spot ETF, right? If you want something plain vanilla and simple, then it should basically correlate one-to-one with Bitcoin after you pay the fee. Then you buy a spot ETF. But if you wanted to actually try to outperform Bitcoin, like MicroStrategy has outperformed Bitcoin, our performance over the course of the 3 years is higher than Bitcoin's performance. So if you want to outperform Bitcoin or outperform the spot ETF, you would do that by accretive financings. Like, for example, if our stock trades at a 30% premium to the underlying assets and we sell $1 billion of equity, we actually capture $300 million of accretion to our shareholders. So there you have it. That's coming directly from the Giga Chad himself, Michael Saylor. Let me know your thoughts on some of what he just shared, and as well as Bitcoin hitting 14.3 million and overtaking the market cap of that of real estate at 300 trillion, and eventually even hitting 100 million per coin, as Michael Saylor believes will happen. Holla.
And don't forget to check out CryptoNewsAlerts.net for the full premium experience with video and to participate in our live Q&A. And I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow's episode. HODL.